What's going on, everybody? Robert Slavinsky here, and on this week's episode, we're going to talk a little bit about the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. We got some more on the Star Wars Rise of Skywalker trailer, as well as ticket information and so much more. This is episode 5 of Shooting the Sith.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
Hello there. Come here, my little friend. Don't be afraid.
Away from your weapon! I mean you no harm!
Kill him. Kill him now. Do it.
You failed your eyes. I am a Jedi. Like my father before.
So last week, guys, we got this trailer for The Rise of Skywalker, the final trailer as they're dubbing it. Now, personally, I think we're going to get another trailer. We have the international trailer, which we're probably going to get here in a couple weeks, as well as all the different TV spots that we're going to get over the next month and a half to 2 months until the movie comes out. Really, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, and, you know, while I wasn't overly impressed, and neither were many of the fans, I sat down and really looked at this trailer, not just through my eyes, but through the eyes of my two boys as well. I have a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old boys, and they watch it. I witnessed it through their eyes to see what they saw, and it was quite amazing. I mean, without a doubt, these movies, these Star Wars movies, are directed and made for kids. They're directed towards kids because, let's face it, these space opera galaxy movies that have giant walking bears and lasers and laser swords and such. I mean, that's not the focus of adults, absolutely not. I mean, that's for kids to grab onto. And George Lucas has always said that. I've talked about it, and I'm sure many of you have talked about it in the past as well. Don't get me wrong, I love the saga. I have since I was 10 years old, and that's the reason why I grab onto it and still enjoy it today. But these movies are made for kids. Their focus is to grab the attention of children, more specifically, boys. Let's face it, more boys are into it. Now, obviously, this trilogy, they focused a lot with the Rey aspect to bring in more women and girls into the mix. But these movies, since 1977, have absolutely grabbed boys just as much. I mean, women, yes, women too. Don't get me wrong, my mom loves these movies, and I know a lot of women. My cousins have loved the Star Wars movies and everything like that, but let's face it, it really had been focused for boys for such a long time. So watching this trailer through my son's eyes and seeing the excitement that he has for this movie coming up was quite amazing. It was very interesting to see because they're not sitting there nitpicking all the little intricacies of the trailer. Oh, look, that's not Star Wars. Oh, look, that's not that. Oh, that's not that. No, they're sitting there saying, that's cool. Holy crap, this is going to be the end of the Star Wars. There's not going to be any more Star Wars movies. I got to see this. Oh, who's that laughing? Oh, this and that. They're asking the right questions. They're not sitting there nitpicking. They're not sitting there pulling out every little issue that they see with it. No, they're looking at it the best way possible. And I truly admire that, and I'm jealous of that because I do that. Do what I just said. I'll nitpick. I'll sit there and pull out things that I don't like or things that don't look Star Wars to me because, you know, it's J.J. Abrams in 2018 and 2019 that made this movie and not George Lucas in 1976 and 79 and 82. You know, like, that's the problem. You know, we have all these ideas of what Star Wars should be, and we're not just letting Star Wars be. But kids do that. Kids just let it be, and they enjoy what they're seeing on screen. So it's rather amazing to see it through their eyes. And they're just as excited about this movie as probably anybody could be. I look forward to over the next 8 to 10 weeks here, until the movie comes out, really just going through the entire saga with them, film by film, and making sure they understand everything. Because when that final movie starts and when it ends, I want them to have the same feeling that I'm going to have. And it's going to be a feeling of joy. And I think as I hate to say it, as of sorrow. You know, these movies have been with me since 1995, 1996. So We're looking at over 20 years now for myself. Some people, it's been over 40 years. I can't express the amount of pleasure and joy I get from these films and what George Lucas gave us. So undoubtedly, I will have strong, sad feelings at the end of this Skywalker saga. And I kind of want my kids to feel the same way. And obviously, it's not going to be exactly the same. But I want them to understand what's happening. Now, yeah, the trailer happened. We had a little bit of a discussion with it last week. My enthusiasm wasn't too high when I went over the trailer the night that it dropped on my podcast because I just wasn't overly excited by it. Yeah, there's a lot of cool moments. The scene in the throne room of Death Star 2 between Kylo and Rey. That's a cool little shot there. And they didn't show us much, but still it was kind of one of those oh crap moments. Then you have the throne, the Ralph McQuarrie design, concept design throne. Amazing. Then you have the final shot where you see what you believe is Palpatine from behind in a chair moving towards Rey as Rey backs up. Another great scene. There's a lot of cool things in the trailer, but to me it just didn't give me enough to get me any more excited than I already am for the movie. It didn't lower my expectations for the movie or my excitement. It just didn't get me any more excited. And I understand why they did that. You know, they're going off of, and this is something they've been going off of for quite some time now, is they're touting this the final film in the Skywalker saga. By doing that, that's already guaranteeing them butts in the seats. That right there alone is going to get them to the billion-dollar mark. Anything after that is going to be from their marketing. And they're doing it right because they're not giving away too much. They're something that trailers do anymore. Take a look at the Marvel Universe. The Marvel Cinematic Universe. Any trailer that you watch basically gives away the movie. Even Endgame gave away too much with the trailers, the two or three trailers that they actually released with it. I know Thor Ragnarok, which everybody loves, which would have been a really good movie had I not seen it 432 times in every trailer and TV spot that dropped. And that's kind of what happens with these films nowadays, and Star Wars has done it right. We've had a teaser, we've had a trailer, and then we had a short behind the scenes, not behind the scenes, but short little snippet from D23. And each one gave us just a few questions that we're going to be wondering about until the movie comes out. And that was brilliant marketing by J.J. Abrams and Lucasfilm, because they're not giving away anything. We don't know what the MacGuffin of the movie is. We don't know what the driving force of Kylo or Rey is going to be. We don't even know why Palpatine is in this movie. All we know is that Palpatine's in it. We know Rey and Kylo go face to face again in an awesome environment. We know that Finn, Poe, and Rey get on the Millennium Falcon with Chewbacca. All that's great. All that's exciting. All that's going to be what draws people in that don't follow the saga as much as us diehard fans do. Those scenes there that they showed in these trailers, that alone is going to get people in the seats. So while all the diehard fans and everybody are going to go see the movie, then you tout it as the final Skywalker, you know, final film of the Skywalker saga, and then these trailers, you know, easily $1.5 to $2 billion movie. Absolutely. Is it going to surpass Avengers Endgame? Maybe. Maybe not. Depends on the rewatchability of this movie. That's what's going to be huge with this, because most people, Avengers made the money it did because people went back. Same with The Force Awakens. The Force Awakens made as much money as it did because people kept going back and back and back. I myself saw The Force Awakens, I want to say, 4 or 5 times in the theaters. Endgame, I saw 3 times. So, you know, it's what draws people to go back and watch the movie again in the theaters. For me, I know definitely this movie, The Skywalker Saga, I will be seeing a minimum of 2 times. I go by myself on opening night, and then a couple days later, I take my family to go see it. And then I may see it again, depending on how much I enjoyed it and its rewatchability. That brings me to the next thing. Tickets. Tickets went on sale the same night as the trailer dropped. Tickets went on sale. Awesome, as always. Now, they dropped a little bit before the trailer dropped, about an hour and a half to 2 hours before the trailer dropped. Adam Tickets, or Adam Ticket, whatever it's called. I'm sorry. I should probably look at my notes here. Yeah, Adam Tickets announced that The Rise of Skywalker came in shy of beating the first-day sales of Avengers Endgame. The movie did sell more tickets in its first hour than any other movie before it, and sold 2.5 times as many tickets in its first day as Star Wars The Last Jedi did. And that was on Adam Tickets. That's impressive. For a movie, for a franchise that everybody kept saying, oh, this franchise is dead, they've ruined it. The fact that it's selling pre-sale tickets as much and as quickly as it is rather impressive. So I don't want to hear people talk about anymore that this franchise is dead. It's not. This movie is going to make over $1 billion. It'll make $2 billion, I'm sure. Again, that final Skywalker saga film is what's going to push it over that. To the next story, there were some leaked images for The Rise of Skywalker. Supposed, quote-unquote, leaked images. I looked at them, kind of wish I didn't, because if they are real, it kind of spoils the movie for me a little bit. But I just am a sucker for that kind of stuff. I try to not click it, but I click it. Be wary of social media. I've already seen some groups on social media on Facebook, as well as some Twitter users, just posting the photos all willy-nilly. And if they are real, it is going to ruin some of the shock and awe from the film. So I hope that it isn't real. I hope it's all just a little, you know, fun and games that somebody had with Photoshop. Because honestly, one shot, one of the images, absolutely looks Photoshopped. It looks horrendous. If that is, and again, I'm sure it's not the final rendered shot for the movie, if it is in the film, but it is a horrible looking image. Horrible. The other one really gives away a big spoiler of the movie, because the other one, the image I'm talking about that sucks, that is looks horrible, is no spoiler. I mean, it's something that is expected to see in the film, but the other image would spoil probably a huge arc and a huge moment for the fans of the film. So, moving on from that, I'm not showing them. You're not going to find them on the website at scpod.net. You're not going to find the images there. We're not going to be the reason that something like this gets spoiled for the fans. That's not what I'm about. That's not what SC Pod's about. You know, even though it's called Spoiler Country, and even though we call it the Spoilerverse, we're not going to sit there and spoil movies for you. We absolutely want you to enjoy them and get that cinematic experience that everybody so desires when they go to a film. You know, when you drop your hard-earned cash on these movies to go see in the theater, you deserve to get all the surprises and all the shocks and awes. That's what it's about. You know, could you imagine the internet back in the 80s? What if the no, I am your father moment would have dropped on the internet months before the movie came out? That would have ruined the experience, completely ruined the experience. So I don't want to be that guy. Our website doesn't want to be that guy. We don't want to be those guys who spoil the film for anybody. So you're not going to find those images there. If you so desire to find them, you will probably be able to find them online. Now, Disney and Lucasfilm has been pulling these images as they find them on different websites and different YouTube channels and Reddit. They're having them pulled for copyright infringement, which leads a lot of people to believe that they are real images from the movie. Then again, Lucasfilm could be doing this to throw people off the trail, making you believe that they're real when they really aren't, to keep the shock and awe of the actual film intact. Personally, like I said, I'd rather they not be real because they, well, I don't want to be spoiled for one, and two, that other image just is horrible. I've actually seen a third image very similar to one of them that's out already, but different in a slight variation of something, and that one also looked Photoshopped. So I wouldn't be surprised if they were fake and Photoshopped, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they were real, because it kind of matches up with some of the other leaks that I've read and heard over the past couple months. We also got a poster for The Rise of Skywalker. Interesting poster. It's a normal one-shot. I'm going to say I miss the posters of old. I miss those posters from the original trilogy. I miss them even from the prequel trilogy. There's just something about these posters that just, they're off-putting. They're just so, I don't even know what the word is I'm looking for. It just doesn't seem right. So while it's an okay poster, there's nothing crazy about it. It doesn't really give anything away. I know that with The Last Jedi, everybody tried to dissect the poster and determine what it all means. Why is Luke the one looking over everybody? And why is it red? And why is it this? When the poster gave nothing away. It said nothing. It told you nothing about the film. And that's kind of the way I feel about this, the Rise of Skywalker poster. I don't think it's going to do much of anything in giving away what the movie's about. If they wanted to give more away, they probably would at this point in time, but they have not yet. It leads me to one thing. I was talking to... I was having a conversation on Twitter with a Twitter user, what is his name? That Junkman. He does a lot of toy stuff on YouTube and on Twitter. So he's at That Junkman, and he brought up, he was talking about the scene in the trailer with C-3PO. A lot of people are complaining because at that moment in that trailer, C-3PO sits there and poses like, "Hey, what are you doing there, C-3PO?" And 3PO's, his line is, "Looking one last time, sir," or at my friends. And standing there, you have Zori Bliss, Poe Dameron, Finn, and Rey, as well as Chewbacca and R2, and BB-8 and Dio. So you have all these characters standing there, and as 3PO is saying, "I'm taking one last look, sir, at my friends." When has he become friends with these people? That's kind of the big question everybody's been asking about that scene. And I agree. I mean, you take a look at episode 7, 3PO is in maybe, 2 minutes, 3 minutes max of the movie? Never interacts with Rey, never interacts with Finn, interacts with Leia a little bit, and honestly, we don't see him interact with Poe at all, I don't think. R2 does a little bit, but we're talking about 3PO here. Episode 8, where was 3PO? I honestly don't even remember where 3PO is. The only interaction that I really see with 3PO in Episode 8 is the moment not real Luke walks past him and winks at him. Besides that, what else did 3PO do in that? Again, no interaction with Finn, no interaction with Rey. So the fact that in this trailer he's sitting there supposedly looking at those characters who he's had no interaction with really in two movies. Now, again, with Poe, it's believable because 3PO has been with Leia. We know in the lore of Star Wars, if you read some of the books or the comics, we know that Leia and Poe have been close. We know that Leia has been truly training and bringing Poe up and trying to make him the leader that she knows he can be. So I'm sure he has some interactions and relationship with Poe, so saying that to Poe makes sense, but to Rey and Finn, I know that this movie is going to take place like a year and a half after The Last Jedi, but again, it's not something that the fans should have to work at in understanding that they're friends. It's something that we should see. You take a look at the original trilogy with 3PO, his friendship, his relationship starts with Luke almost, 10 minutes into the movie. And then you're looking at 30, 35 minutes, 34, 35, 40 minutes, whatever, into the movie. Then his relationship starts with Han. And then, 10 minutes after that, his relationship starts with Princess Leia. And it just built, and that's what happens through the film. He has a relationship with those characters immediately. So him saying that to Finn, Rey, and Poe, Zori Bliss, who we've never seen with 3PO at all, is just kind of odd and off-putting a little bit. And I was talking at That Junk Man about it, and yes, he's right, we have no idea what the build-up to that scene is. He could even be talking to somebody else in that scene. It may not even be the same scene because the way they cut the scene together, it could be somebody else, maybe. Doubtful, but it's possible. But my issue with it is the first time I watched it, it hit me. It did hit me because it was that moment that is the little wink. Hey, a wink to the fans. This is your last look at your friends. But to me, to the grander fandom, are these really our friends? have we gotten to know these characters enough to feel something that this is it for them? And, you know, it's a good question, because Rey, who we should have the connection with, being that she's the main protagonist of this entire saga, or not saga, but trilogy, what do you feel for her? You know, in episode 7, she is a nobody. She doesn't know who she is. And we know that she has this raw ability with the Force. Episode 8, she's still a nobody who is told that she has this raw talent and ability with the Force. And she wants to save Kylo. And by the end, she's still a nobody and still doesn't completely understand everything. And we don't know any more about her than we did in episode 7 at the end of episode 8. Finn, he was trying to run away in episode 8, tries to run away in episode, or run away in episode 7, tries to run away in episode 8. He does have a small character development. I did just watch The Last Jedi the other day. He does have some development because, you know, he turns around and he tries to sacrifice himself for the Resistance. And that's a problem I have with that movie there a little bit, you know, when he has his moment where he tries to sacrifice himself and Rose stops him and everything like that. But his character development, he did have some character development. I know I wrote an article where I insinuate he doesn't, but he actually does have some character development in episode 8. Not much, but some. Then you have Poe, who in episode 7 is a hotshot pilot who has a level head on him, who knows what he's doing. Yeah, he may be a hotshot pilot, but he has a level head. To episode 8, where he is a hotshot pilot who has no sense in him and refuses orders. And then, just because he sees not real Luke stand up to the Resistance, or to the First Order, he's like, hey, I'm going to be a good leader now. And so there's not much of a character development there. It actually regresses and then progresses within one movie. Bizarre. But that's my thing. It's kind of like, where's this relationship building that we have with these characters? We built this relationship with Han, Leia, and Luke in the original trilogy over the course of 2 movies prior to the Return of the Jedi, and we felt it when that movie ended. And I'm saying this as somebody who didn't catch it until almost 15 years after they were released. You know, as I watched them for the first time, I built that relationship as a child. Even with the prequel trilogy, you know, Obi-Wan, I mean, I felt like Obi-Wan was my character. He was my dude through that trilogy. And then Anakin and Padme, you know, I felt something for them. Even Yoda, you know, you really feel for these characters come episode 3. I don't feel that for these characters in this current trilogy. And I'm not bashing it at all. It was kind of a weird moment in that trailer where, you know, 3PO and they're trying to wink at the fans like, hey, this is it, guys. This is the last time you're going to see your friends. And I kind of sit back and I'm kind of like, what friends? You killed Han. You killed Luke. We don't know what you're doing with Leia yet, but we've already seen our friends. These guys, we hardly know them. So that's kind of an issue I have with the trailer. Again, we don't know the circumstances in the movie. Like, at that junk man said to me, it's very possible that it could be something in the film that will then sit there and go, ah, yes, those are his friends. But for the trailer, for that trailer, that moment was a wink at the fans, and I think it falls flat. I really do. Unfortunately, I think it falls flat, and it doesn't, that moment didn't affect my kids either when they watched it, because, you know, I looked at them and I was like, what do you think about 3PO? And they just kind of, well, he's probably going to die. And that was it. Like, they didn't catch that. So they were definitely going for the nostalgia route with that little wink, and it fell flat in my opinion. I'm not saying that it's not going to make me tear up in the movie, but the trailer, you know, first time I saw it, I was like, aw. Second time, I was like, Third time, I was like, And then after that, I was like, hold on. There's something wrong here. So, you know, what do I know? It's just a trailer, right? We're going to see the whole movie. I'm going to go see it. You're going to go see it. I don't know why I'm complaining about it. It's a trailer. We're going to love the movie, I'm sure. I have faith in J.J. Abrams completely. So there's that. Let's see. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. Now, in an interview with Men's Journal, Ewan McGregor actually stated that he knew about the upcoming Star Wars series for 4 years. And this is a quote by him. "It's fucking massive relief, because for 4 years, I've been having to lie to people about it." Now, I know I've seen him on countless talk shows when he's promoting different movies or TV shows that he's been in. And he always gets asked, "So, fans want to see you as Obi-Wan. You want to be Obi-Wan and Kenobi again?" He's like, "Absolutely, absolutely, I want to." You know, he's always been excited about it. And that's been over the past 4 or 5 years that he's been talking about this. There was also a rumor many, many moons ago that there was going to be an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie, possibly a trilogy. Maybe that was true. Maybe they talked to him about it back then, but they were like, "We can't announce it yet, we can't announce it yet." Then when all the issues happened with Solo and The Last Jedi, and they sat back and decided to retool and redistribute how they want to do everything, maybe it was at that point that it became a TV series. And the reason why I think that is, he also gave information about the series and saying that it will consist of 6-hour-long episodes. So it's going to be 6 episodes of an hour each. You think about it, that's 6 hours, that's 3 movies essentially. Each movie 2 hours. Could have been a trilogy right there. I don't know. I mean, could be thinking too much into it. But he does say that the storyline sits between episode 3 and episode 4, right after the collapse of the Jedi Order. He does hint that the destruction of the Jedi will be part of the main arc. I mean, honestly, he doesn't give any information that we didn't know already, besides that it's going to be 6 episodes, and that he's known for 4 years. He's being coy about everything else, obviously. He says he's going to start filming next summer, which, again, we already knew. And he's not going to give us anything else. Nobody's going to give us anything else. Look, we barely know anything about The Mandalorian, and that comes out in less than a month. In about 2.5-3 weeks, it comes out, and we know minimal about that, which I cannot wait for. I cannot wait to talk about that. That show is going to be phenomenal. Definitely is. And the great thing about The Mandalorian, moving on to that a little bit, excuse me, the first week we're getting 2 episodes. November 12th, we get episode 1, the launch of Disney Plus. And then November 15th, which is a Friday, we get episode 2 of The Mandalorian. And then it's 1 a week all the way up to the week after episode 9 comes out. Keep in mind, though, that December 18th is when the episode of The Mandalorian will drop, giving Star Wars a little breathing room when it comes to episode 9 on the 20th. So the December 18th is the only wacky one after the first 2 episodes in the first week of The Mandalorian. Now, for those of you who don't know this, Disney Plus is obviously a new streaming service. It's going to cost money for people to get. However, news came out this week as well that if you are a Verizon customer, so if you have a Verizon cell phone plan, if you have the unlimited plan with Verizon, you will get 1 year free of Disney Plus. I am absolutely excited about this because I have Verizon unlimited plan. So guess what I'm getting? Disney Plus for free for 1 year. Absolutely amazing deal. So make sure you look that information up and sign up for Disney Plus for free. You know, if you got, you know, the unlimited plan, why not take advantage of it? Yeah. So with that said, I really don't have anything else to talk about. What I want to do is I want to hear from all of you. You know, this is episode 5 of the show. I want to hear more from you on what's going on in the Star Wars world. Hit me up on social media at @rslavinsky. That's my Twitter handle. You can find me there. Ask me some questions. I want to answer your questions on the podcast. Throw me an email, shootinthesith@gmail.com. I can answer your emails on the podcast. You can find us on scpod.net. That is our website where you're going to get all your spoilerverse needs. You'll be able to find stuff about Shooting the Sith, Star Wars, anything in pop culture, you're going to find on scpod.net. So make sure you check that out. Find us on Facebook, look up Spoiler Country. You'll be able to like the page there. And look, you're going to find so much stuff. This Spoiler Country, this Spoilerverse is growing day by day. I know that there's some big announcements probably going to be coming up soon with different things being added and things going on. So make sure you're following us because it is quite exciting. I'm excited. You should all be excited as well. But with all that, everyone, thanks for tuning in this week. Thanks for listening. I do appreciate all of you, all five of you that I see are listening to me. But thanks for listening, and may the Force be with you.